Today's guest on Medio Scientific's The Business of LoRaWAN is Manoj Talrande, the CEO and co-founder of TerraQ Technologies. With a deep background in energy management and sustainability, Manoj has spent nearly two decades helping businesses cut costs and improve operations. And today, he's applying that expertise through LoRaWAN. From reducing utility bills in restaurant chains to enabling rapid deployments in facilities where traditional wiring would be impossible, Manoj sees LoRaWAN as a key to transforming older, energy-hungry buildings into smart, efficient spaces. He brings a combination of field-tested energy knowledge and a passion for simple, scalable IoT solutions to this conversation. We'll explore how he's building private LoRaWAN networks for clients across the Middle East, why adaptability is crucial in changing environments, and how focusing on clear ROI unlocks broader IoT adoption. Let's dig in. Manoj, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on. I know TerraQ is a startup, so this particular business is a little bit new, but your background with LoRaWAN is not super new. Can you walk me through kind of who you are and how you got here?
Okay, so you know my name, Manoj. So since last 18 years, I'm into energy management field. I was doing energy audits a lot, right from the commercial buildings, steel power plants, textile mills, everything. So I'm into energy management and sustainability field since my whole career. And then in my last job, we were trying to do some automation for restaurants. So we tried a couple of wired technologies, and then I got accidentally introduced with LoRaWAN, and I actually fall in love with it. So we did a lot of, you know, like research in understanding that what kind of sensors are available, what kind of data can be sent. And now almost like 250 plus stores are connected with LoRaWAN technology to a cloud application where we are remotely monitoring and controlling these stores, like HVAC, specifically HVAC, which creates a lot of stress on the utility bills, what the client is paying. So that's how I got introduced to it. And now I started my own business, and now I'm trying to explore more and more about LoRaWAN. I see it that it is the future because it removes all the barriers kind of thing, like no wired connections, a lot of protocols can be integrated, and scalability is superb. Like you can use any kind of sensors and you can go to any level.
Yeah, I know you've talked a bunch about just how big of a jump it is to go from being reliant on cables to wireless. It seems pretty obvious, but I should probably ask the question anyway. Is there anything in there that you see is just this massive unlocking of potential when you can drop the cables?
A lot of potential. Now, let's say I'm in UAE. Here, the space utilization changes a lot. So for example, you are seeing a building in a particular way today. Might be tomorrow the people will change the use of that. Somebody will be do a partition into it. Somebody might be changing the sitting plan. Somebody might be changing the complete machineries over it. Now, what you will do with that if you have wired connection? So being wireless becomes like it makes it too much easy that you just need to change the sensor from one location to another location. Your entire ecosystem and connectivity remains the same. You need not to change that. So it makes a lot of sense. And another thing is that when are people trying to change the space utilization, they are also adding into it. Might be 100 square meter area will become 200 square meter. So what you do, you will be adding again the cables. That is one thing. And second, let's talk about BMS. So BMS are mostly happening when the project are getting, conceptualized on when they are in the designing phase.
Sure.
What you do with the retrofits, those thousands of numbers of buildings who are actually causing to the global warming because of their high energy consumption, how you will automate them? So you need to find out a technology which is a kind of plug and play. And fortunately, LoRaWAN is giving us the power to convert them from non-smart buildings to smart buildings, or let's say from non-smart industries to smart industries. It can go to any level. That's, I think, the core strength of LoRaWAN, how it is like empowering us to do what we were not able to do.
I hadn't thought about how fast you can deploy or redeploy, especially with, as you say, the space utilization piece. That's interesting. I always thought of LoRaWAN as being like these really long-term deployments. And so the idea that you're dealing with customers who, if you're in the restaurant business, they go in and out of business, maybe not all the time, but it's a tough business. And so the ability to go in and not have to cable anything up, you just say, okay, you're done. I'll move my gateway and sensors, or
you're getting bigger. Great. I'll just add a couple more sensors. That's pretty cool. What's the average size or kind of average customer that you're going after with TerraQ? What does that look like?
So see, average size of the customer doesn't depend like that, but we look for the, we will say, chain kind of businesses. So for example, if it is one of the kind of client, we might not be interested that much. But let's say it's a chain of problem. For example, there are thousands restaurants, there are 1,000 clinics, or there are 1,000 hotels. We have repeatability of the same problem again and again.
Okay.
So the scaling becomes very easy, and the deployment becomes too fast. And you talked about actually the network. I think in your part of the world, you are using the community network in which the gateways are outdoor and it's a community kind of network. In our case, the gateways are actually creating only the private network.
Oh, really?
So it is getting utilized for that particular client only. Till now, we have not reached to the, you know, position where we are using LoRaWAN as a community service.
Interesting. So if you're looking at community services, the two big ones are TTN and Helium.
Yes.
You certainly have the coverage there and you should be able to roam onto them. So that might be of additional use to you. I think this is another interesting piece doing all these podcasts is everybody knows about their own little corner of LoRaWAN.
Yes,
and they're
yes.
really good in their corner. But there's, I think, as you said before we got on, there's not enough kind of talking back and forth and really sharing knowledge, which is why this thing exists. Super cool. Okay. So can you walk me through maybe a customer deployment that you've done that you really moved the needle for them or you really made a change for them where before they found you and worked with you, they were struggling with something, and now they're using LoRaWAN to connect sensors that really help their business.
So restaurant case, I have already mentioned to you. There is one more case in which, now this is a work in progress. There is a client, they are a food manufacturing thing. So they cook the food, they pack the food, and they provide it to flights and all that, and to the other clients. And this includes a big facility in which the food is made. They need non-contact type things. They need a lot of hygienic things over there. You cannot lay out the cables. And the environment is always moist. Humidity is a lot. Temperature is high. Now, in such kind of case, and all these spaces are, you know, like covered with stainless steels and all that. So cabling and these things becomes a lot difficult. So now we are working on providing them a solution in which we will be keeping. Now they want the temperature and monitoring system for their entire facility, because it's actually a compliance thing for them, being food. So the LoRaWAN sensors are so easy to deploy. A small size of sensor, you just either magnetically place on the wall, or you screw it over there. And then you place the data, gateways, and you get the data. So that's how they were actually quite amazed to see that, okay, such kind of things can also be deployed. And when we tell them that, okay, the entire installation can happen in a week, they were actually amazed because how it can happen in such a short time. So they were actually liking that things a lot. And being no cables, no other installations, it makes them very easy. That is one of the applications going on. Another thing, we are talking to some clients for smart city kind of a thing, in which similarly what you have the community kind of the installations, we will be having a gateway installations for the entire community, entire township. And then we will be deploying different sensors where we can make them more usable for the clients. So let's say public parking, public restrooms, park areas, then retail shops over there. It might also happen that they can deploy the smart home kind of applications in which gateways are already over there. They will deploy some smart home sensors, and through mobile app, they can manage their lighting, HVAC, or even plug loads.
Okay. And because you're coming from the energy management piece, all of that is kind of native to you. You're like, oh yeah, I totally get energy and how that's important.
Yeah, definitely. Because see, there are now tangible and intangible, both the benefits, right? Because of ESG and sustainability, people are looking towards data collection, but ultimately business look for the ROI.
Yeah.
So unless and until you start from the energy thing, there is no other points which will give you ROI. For example, having a public parking connected to LoRaWAN and making it smart are not going to serve their purpose unless and until they are saving something on the cost. So we always need to bring some kind of factor in which cost saving will be there. And then once people understand that, yes, this technology is bringing me some kind of financial benefits, then they themselves ask us what else we can do, what next we can do. Can we add something else into it? Can we have water management? Can have parking management? Can we have waste management kind of a thing? Or even, let's say, asset tracking, where the technicians are or where their utility vehicles are, they can manage that as well.
Okay. And that seems to be a common theme with a lot of LoRaWAN deployments is you have your leading use case that you go in with where you're like, I know this one works. It's really good. Here's the ROI. I can show you out of the gate how good it's going to be. And a lot of companies use that same strategy, knowing that the customers, after they see the first solution, will say, oh, what else can you do?
Yeah.
Okay. So the solutions for you with the restaurants, what do those look like? What are the ones that you know that they're going to, you're going to be able to show ROI, whether it's in saved compliance or something else?
No, there are two, three kind of things to it. So for example, when I did that project, there were four aspects to it, which we tried to capture. One was energy management. Second was food compliance. Third was safety. And fourth was their sustainability reporting kind of a thing. So now in energy management, what happens? They have the, all the stores have dining and kitchen areas. The HVAC has to run 24/7. Whether there is a customer or no customer, you cannot switch off the ACs, right? Even if me and you are not walking into the dining, they need to run the ACs. So we deployed smart thermostats over there. We got it connected to a cloud application from which you can schedule it. And then their electricity bill went down a lot. So they had a lot of savings over there. Second aspect was food compliance. So in restaurant, you have the chillers and freezers in which you are storing the material. And for food compliance, you need to maintain the correct temperatures. Now we installed the temperature and humidity sensors over there. And then it showed them that whether their temperatures are correct or no. In some cases, they will be coming to know there are undercooling. They might be overcooling. So it helps us not only to manage the food compliance kind of a thing, but also to streamline their maintenance, because there might be a case where the store manager don't know that whether my food is at the correct temperature or no. But now having a real-time monitoring of that, the maintenance team can understand, yes, something is going wrong or something is correct.
Got it.
Then third part we touched was the safety part, because stores are always, you know, scattered over like a large area. They might be in one city, they might be in another city. Now, how do you address the fire safety of these things? Because if something happens, the store staff will be and the customers will be in the line of fire. So as like management, how do you tackle such kind of situation? So what we did is that we tried to connect the fire alarm panels through LoRaWAN to the centralized monitoring system. So if suppose any kind of fire incident happened over there, you will get an immediate alarm. So that makes the management think that, okay, this is like safety aspects in which I can immediately get to know. So I can turn off certain things and my assets, my people, and even my clients will be always safe. And then from sustainability perspective, all the utility consumption which is getting captured, they can accurately report them for the sustainability reporting. So all these four aspects were captured in that particular project.
Oh, that's super cool. And that's also a nice pitch as you walk into a restaurant or a building and say, hey, these are the four things we can do. They can then imagine what their savings are going to be or have a good idea of what their savings are going to be, how it's going to be useful. And that makes it a little bit easier to go in. Is most of the business in Dubai? I know that cooling there must be insanely important and expensive.
Expensive, I cannot say, because government have a lot of control over the tariffs and all that.
Yep.
You see, in this part of the world, a lot of things in the energy management doesn't happen only because the tariff rates were too low.
Got it. Okay.
Now the tariff awareness is there. There is, after the COP happened over here, people are a lot more committed to sustainability. Now companies are getting listed, they are becoming public limited. So it has been mandatory for them to become, you know, sustainable, to publish the ESG reports. So trends are changing a little bit, but it doesn't mean that the client will be always from that sector only. And we are actually trying to cover the entire Middle East. And not only that, we have seen that such kind of things, like, for example, I took your example that you are using community networks. I'm not using community network. Might be in your area, there will be any client who might be looking for a private network to deploy such kind of things. So we are open for the entire world. And because we are serving to our clients through a cloud-based application, that removes a lot of barriers which are related to the countries or continents. We can go to any level. Either they can have their own hardware or they can take hardware from us, connect to our application and find out a lot more about the algorithms, dashboards, the different reporting kind of things what we have, how it can assist them to serve their purpose, to solve their problems.
And then when you go into these places, are you putting in a kind of physical tablet so that everybody can see all the dashboard statistics, or is this something that they log into on any computer and they can see via software what it looks like, or via logging in what it looks like?
So this totally depends on the client's requirement.
Okay.
Okay. So for example, now the at present, the use is like that. The software is on a cloud. They log in from a computer to see what kind of data they have. But let's take an example that the client wants to showcase how sustainable they are. And they want to market these things for getting more and more client.
Right.
Okay. So definitely in that case, they might keep a smart screen over there just to show that, okay, these are the, you know, carbon emissions, what we have saved over last 1 year, or this is how our food and temperature compliance we are monitoring and controlling for you. So it will change.
It'll depend on the customer. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
And then what is the average kind of number of sensors per deployment? I know when I was talking with Bansi a couple shows ago, he was saying kind of minimum 100 per client. Is there something that you see when you walk into a restaurant and they always need at least 4 or at least 4,000? Or like, what's the kind of number that you're seeing on deployments?
It's again, depends on the client requirements. So for example, right now, what we are seeing in the store, these are mostly like 10 to 20 sensors, not more than that. But these are like the 4 only aspects what we touched. What if suppose the clients are looking for to connecting the kitchen equipment, then what happens in this case? So the entire, all the kitchen equipments are getting connected, the number of sensors will increase. But yes, restaurants are not that big in size, so this case will be different. But if suppose we are talking about a smart city, might be there will be thousands of sensors. But a good thing is that in both the cases, you are going to use only one gateway, because you can connect 2,000 sensors to one gateway, right? So unless and until the distance is not that bad, I think that's the strength of LoRaWAN. One gateway can handle so many sensors.
Yeah. No, it is a pretty impressive technology. Okay. Manoj, thanks so much for making the time today. Really appreciate you coming on and telling us a little bit about TerraQ, and super cool to learn about. I think the coolest thing was learning like, oh yeah, the business use cases change so much per space that LoRaWAN makes it really easy to grow or shrink with that. That's really cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Nick.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. I built this for you, the one person in about 100,000 who actually has an interest in how this tiny little slice of the world works. Of course, this isn't just about you and me. It's about everyone in LoRaWAN and how we can work together to make an exceptional thing. LoRaWAN is a dispersed community with little pockets of knowledge all around the world, and most of them don't talk to each other as much as I'd like. So the first and best thing we can do to make this show better is to get more guests on who I don't even know exist. I want to talk to strangers. Strangers who are your friends. Please introduce me to the most rad LoRaWAN-er you know, or point them my way, or hell, reach out and give me a name. When it comes to running down LoRaWAN guests, I can track a falcon on a cloudy day. If you can remember metsci.show, you can find me. That's metsci.show. metsci.show. Okay, so sharing knowledge by getting great guests on is the first and by far the most important thing we can do to make this better. The next best thing for the show to do is the usual stuff. Subscribe to the show, give it a review, share it in your corner of the world. Again, that's metsci.show. Finally, if you want to support the show financially, you can do that over at support.metsci.show. You'll see options there for one-time donations if you really like this show, as well as an ongoing subscription option if you think this show is worth supporting for the long term. If you want to try LoRaWAN for yourself, sign up for a Medio Scientific account at console.medioscientific.com and get your first 400 data credits for free. That's enough to run a sensor for about a year if you're firing every hour. This show is supported by a grant from the Helium Foundation and produced by Gristle King, Inc. I'm Nick Hawks. I'll see you on the next show.